Amen. Hey, don't you love it when God just messes things up? We are not planning all those things, but the Holy Spirit just wants to move and do something. And when we get out of the way, it's amazing what he can do. I want to share a couple of other quick things. Peter, I think they're on the slides there, bro. There's one that is going to tell us about our missions trips. I think I snuck it in there. There you go. Latvia, I think it's right, 30th of June to the 8th of July. This is right. So these are three of our trips that we're doing, two abroad and one locally. I just want to get the news out now because I know you're having to book holidays or you're thinking ahead and you're wanting to plan ahead. And so we're just going to have the slide available. We'll probably pop it out on the notice board there and then it's just available for anybody to see. We'll have Latvia, which we went to last year. If you're a part of it, we would love to have you back. And if you didn't go, then we would love you to come. It's a really good trip. It's not even a super expensive trip. It's about £300-£400. It's such a blessing. We get to work with a school group pretty much the whole week, maybe about 70, 80 kids from all sorts of different backgrounds, and we just get to spend all week with them in the school. You do get sleep, don't worry. They mightn't sleep that much, but we make sure to get our sleep, and we have a great week with them, and it's really fun that we get to go to an amazing country like Latvia. And trust me, if you've never been to Latvia, it is a beautiful, beautiful country with amazing people. And then, of course, sandwiched in the middle, we've got iHeart Armagh, which will be the 28th of July to the 4th of August. We'll have our Cleveland team coming back again, which is our team from America. Most of the guys that came last year from that team are coming back because they just made such great connections. And actually, if you noticed a few weeks ago, Lydia was selling some bits and bobs out in the foyer, and that was to help one of the families come back because she's just really excited to see her friends come back, and they really want to come back. And obviously, to take six or seven of a family over to here is a really expensive trip, especially 2 years in a row. And so we were doing all we can to help them, and I'm sure she's doing more over the next few weeks and months. So if you're free on that one, definitely take it off. It's a really an amazing week where we go into the local estates of Armagh. This year we did our kids club. We had over 300 kids in 3 days come here, which was extraordinary because we'd never done them before, and we were able to reach kids that just never really get reached. We just got into different areas and we built up friendships and relationships, and God blessed us and anointed us, and that was such an amazing privilege. So if you're free for that, come and help us. And in South Africa, we're pinning the dates down with a team over there. It's in Durban, South Africa. It'll kind of probably look like that beach. So if you want to go to that beach, then that's where you need to go. And that'll be in mid-August, probably around the 8th to the 22nd. But I'm not putting the dates out because I don't want to commit that and then they change. So we'll work them out in the next few days. But if you're thinking of any of that, then come. Obviously, first one, 300-400. The middle one, give me 1,000. Only joking, it's more or less for nothing because you live here. And then South Africa, it will probably be in around £1,000, something like that. We'll work that out, though, so don't take that one totally yet. We will work that one out and see what's going to be. But that's what's coming up. And next one, I think we've got one more slide there, Peter. It's our kingdom leadership. So what we're doing is we've been put together over the last few months. We're going to start it last year, and then it just things came, moved, and we couldn't do it, and Christmas came too early for us. Comes every year at the same time, but it came too early for me, and we couldn't do it. So now, at the start of this year, it's just the best time to do it. And so our hearts with this is simply, we're going to do a course, probably about 8-9 weeks, maybe meeting either weekly or every other week, depending on how it works out. And so if you have it in your heart, really what this course is about is that we're going to learn, how did Jesus lead? How did he learn to become that amazing leader that he became, that we read about in the New Testament? We're going to look at a few stories. The main one will be how the disciples and how Jesus washed the disciples' feet and how what that shows us and how that shows us to lead. And so we're going to look right through it, and then we're going to finish up with what it looks like to lead within Vibe and the vision that God's given us. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to raise up men and women that are powerful and mighty in the things of God that are ready to step into the next season of God on their life. And when I talk about leaders, I think that speaks to every single person, because you could be a leader in your family, leader in the workplace, leader in the church, leader wherever, but we're all leading something, and even if it's only you, you're leading yourself. So you are leading yourself. And if you're interested in that, we're going to begin that in the next couple of weeks. It's probably going to be a midweek night, maybe a Monday or something like that. We'd love you to come and get involved in that. It'll be for about 8-9 weeks. We're going to take it seriously. We'll have a bit of an admin fee, probably about £30 or so. There'll be books you're going to read, so we're going to go for it. So if you're up for the challenge, up for just growing a tiny bit more in God, ready to step into that next season, maybe feeling a leadership calling on your life, or maybe someone's spoken that over you, and you're like, well, how do I do this thing? Then that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about leadership, glean from what Jesus says, and then look at how we try to do it in Vibe, in the vision and the values that we have. So think about that coming up. Okay, let's pray for a second, and then we're going to look at the word this morning. Lord, I thank you for your heart. I thank you for the things that you're doing. I praise you, Jesus, for how good you are and the way you're touching people's lives. And maybe, Lord, we've already got what we came for because we came forward for prayer. But here's the good news with Jesus. There's always more. There is always more. So I pray, Lord, for an open heart today, an open mind today, Lord, and whatever we're facing, no matter what we are going through, that, Lord, that we would know that you're faithful and that you are with us. Just continue to speak to us, continue to touch us, continue to heal us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you remember, by the end of November last year, we let you into a big secret or a big vision that we had. We called it Project Possible. And it was about our vision for Next Door. And we said this, look, we're going to rebuild Next Door. We had got a word from God, like Nehemiah, that says, if we restore the walls, we'll restore the city. And so as we rebuild this building, then we're going to lead restoration and revival in this area. It's incredible. And so we said, look, this is what it's going to look like. And we talked about all the rooms that we're going to have, all the different things we're going to do. We're going to, you can see it on the website. I can't take loads of time on it because I would get too excited. And then that's all we talk about. But it's absolutely amazing. And then we hit you with the scary part, where how much it's going to cost. You know, it's like, I really love that car. I really want that iPhone. I really want that new building. But how much is it going to cost? And it's always more than you think, but it's always kind of, it's like, oh, okay, it makes sense. And we said this, it's going to cost minimum $1.5 million. It's just crazy. I'm sure nobody's got that in their bank account, and if you do, come see me quickly, meetings council. No, but it's a lot of money. But here's what I've realized, that God's bigger than all of that. And if it's a God dream, it's always going to be bigger than yourself. It's always going to be bigger than you, because if it wasn't a God dream, then it would be achievable, and we wouldn't need God. But whenever God gives us a dream and he gives us a word, we've seen it from Genesis right through to Revelation, it's always much bigger than you. When Noah got the word from God to build a boat, he was like, how big, 20 feet? And God was like, no, a bit bigger than that. Till eventually he got the blueprints, and we don't even read, the scripture doesn't even tell us what he felt when he got the blueprints, but for some reason, he goes and does it because he's got faith. He's like, okay, well, if God said it, we'll do it. And that's what the Lord has said to us. He said, hey, I've given you this building. I want you to go for it. And in a few minutes, we'll go down memory lane and we'll look at how we got to this point. But what we're going to do over the next few weeks is that we're going to go after this idea of impossible things that God made possible. Because it's just our faith. Because here's the thing. The problem is not really the money. And the problem is not really the planners in Armagh or the building control or any of those people or all the councils or all that. The problem is me and you, the people that's in the mirror. Because if we can get our own ideas out of the way, if we can surrender, if we can give our all to God, if we can put ourselves in the right position, then God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. The problem's us, unfortunately. That's the problem. The problem is us. You are the problem. I am the problem. But good news, Jesus fixed the problem on the cross. And then he said, after that, I want to continuously transform you and transform you and transform you. And how do I want to do that? I want to do it through your mind. Because if we can change the way you think, then it's going to change what you do, what you say, how you go. But here's what God knew. He knew there was going to be great trouble in the world. He knew that. He knows every single thing that you face. He knows how broken your heart is right now. There's some people this morning that their hearts are just shattered in a million pieces. A million pieces. There's some of us that are under financial pressure that we just, there's no way out of it. There's some of us that are just going through difficult, chaotic scenarios in our lives. And we're just thinking, why, what? We're speechless. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. And then we get words from God that says, you're going to do the impossible. That I've got good plans for you, plans to prosper you. Plans for a future, a bright future, not even a future, but a bright future. And we read all of these things and we think, but Lord, how does that add up? Because I live in the real world. But what did Jesus say? Be of good cheer, because I've already overcome the world. And I've called you as men and women that are overcomers. In fact, you're more than overcomers because you're standing on me. You're standing on the promises of me. And so this morning, over this next few weeks, you know what we're trying to do? We're trying to remind ourselves that in the midst of a broken, chaotic, terrible, sinful world, God is still able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And if we can position ourselves, if we can get the promises of God activated in our lives, if we can step out even in the midst of our brokenness, it's amazing what God will do through broken people. Again, from Genesis to Revelations, that's all we read. Broken people doing extraordinary things for God. And the difference between a broken person A and a broken person B is that A, that does extraordinary things, is no better or no worse than B, but they've just decided in the midst of their brokenness, okay, Lord, use me if you can. Use me if you can. I surrender. Lord, take me if you can. Make me to speak. Make me to go. Make me to say. Whatever you want to do, just do it, Lord. And that's actually really hard, much harder than you think, because in the midst of your brokenness, to want to just give it up and just surrender all to God, really hard. And at that point, there's just no way to figure out the next step other than I'm just going to surrender to God again and again and again and again. And there's no wonder fix to this. There's just not, because if you talk to anybody who's been through troubles, it's like, I wish it was a two-step process or a three-step process. It'd be all good. I wouldn't even be getting this. But a lot of the times, we're just stepping out in faith in the dark, and we're not sure what the next step means. We're not sure of life or dead. We're not sure what will happen. We're not sure of this. But we trust God in spite of all of that. And so over the next few weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to invite the Lord. We're going to ask God to just continuously transform us, to be men and women that can believe that God can do what he says he can do. And if he has given us this building next door, which he has done, then all of the money is not an issue. Then all of the resources are not an issue. Then all of the people to fill it are not an issue. All I need to concentrate is me and him. Lord, change me, change me, change me, change me. That's where the biggest change needs to happen. And he'll do it in many different ways. And it may be through a season of brokenness. It may be through just incredible tests, incredible trials. In fact, 99% of the times, that's the way he does it. Because he's looking to break us through his strength, through his protection, so that he can rebuild us the right ways. So that he can bring us back to that wholeness. So he can bring us back to what he has designed and what he has planned. Because the enemy has a plan to kill, steal, and destroy. It's Matthew 19:26. We put it right in front of our leaflets. We've got our leaflets out there. If you want to read any more, if you go on our website, you can read more about our Project Possible. But this is what it says. But Jesus looked at them and said, we put it on the screen, because I want us to remind ourselves for the next few weeks, no matter what we see on the screen, it's just going to be constantly this. But Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. All things are possible. And I know that we want to add in our but there. We want to add in but this, but that. But God says, no, this is it, start to finish. With man, this is impossible, but comma, but with me, you can do all things. There's a second part to the story. There's a second part to the story. Now, how you get to the second part is difficult. It's for everybody else, it looks different. For every single person, it's unique. It's a challenge. It's a step. But if we can keep looking to Jesus, if we can keep surrendering to him, we will get to the second step, and we'll look back and go, wow, it may look like I was surrounded, but I was actually surrounded by you, Lord. It may look like I was done and defeated, but actually, Lord, you were setting me up for my biggest victory. It may look like Jesus was completely done on the cross, but actually, the Holy Spirit was moving in power, and sin was going to be forever destroyed. You see, all of those up until the point of victory looked like the greatest defeats. And maybe your life at the moment looks like the worst defeat. And people can see it, and you can see it, and you feel it. And you see it in the mirror every day. You're the most defeated person. You just feel like the most defeated person. And yet, in a moment of time, when God decides, when God moves, that can become your greatest victory. Your greatest victory. And so this morning, church, we're simply holding on and we're saying this. God, if you've said it, we'll believe it. If you've given us the dream, we will receive it. And Lord, if you have given it to us, we will be good stewards, and we will carry that word faithfully, and we'll pray it in the midst of whatever we're facing. And we'll say, Lord, no matter what, I'm going to choose to believe that you have decided that this building is for us. No matter what I'm going through, I'm going to choose to believe that God is greater. No matter what, I'm going to choose to believe that God's going to do great things. Here's what I find. In the midst of the chaos, in the midst of all this going on in us, it feels a lot of the times like maybe you just give up. Maybe just throw this whole thing in. But here's what I find two big problems as a Christian. If you're a Christian, number one, you're a new creation in Christ. Your life is no longer your own anymore. You live for his glory. You live for his kingdom. And so you don't really have a choice. And second thing, he just puts these God-shaped dreams inside of your heart that have to come out because they're just so big they can't stay inside. They've just got to come out of you. And so if you're here this morning, you're like, oh, what do you want me to do? He's already told us, go into all the world, transform it. Preach the good news, see signs, wonders, and miracles, see the enemies defeated, see the demons flee, and watch how the Lord takes his place in every scenario as we would trust him, as we would obey him. And a lot of it comes back to just simple obedience. And you're like, oh no. I like that one. It was just a bit of sacrifice because it's kind of my control. But obedience, I've just got to be faithful. I've 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 got to trust you, God, no matter what. I said it just a few moments ago, we're going to go down memory lane just to remind ourselves of how we got here as we go into this new season of believing for next door and believing for all that God's got for us. Here's what we started off with. Here was the simple dream and the simple goal. Number one, all we were aiming for was a youth group back in 2006 that would get to know each other. That was it. That was all that we had. That was the dream from top to bottom. There's a bunch of people here. I wonder if we got to know each other. Wouldn't it be amazing? Wouldn't it be nice if we knew each other? That was the dream. Then what started to happen next, and here's what happened happens in the kingdom of God. A few people started to dream. A couple of people had a dream, me and Nikki, and maybe one or two others. And then a few more people joined what was going on, getting saved. Then they started to get a dream. And you know what happens? This thing just gets bigger. This thing has to grow. We can't keep it to ourselves because God is too good, and his dreams always far out extend yourself. And so then we start to dream, and then before you know it, then we say, hey, we should go and do these adventures and this adventure, go on this missions trip, do this thing, just grow, until eventually more and more people are getting saved, and then you know what this dream starts to become. Now, we started off with just want to be a youth group, half a dozen people, that'll be fine, nobody knows us, nobody needs to know, we don't know what we're doing, it's all good, this is cool, we'll just eat pizza and have fun, that's it. And then it just starts to grow because people get saved. And then before long, within a few years, what does he say next? I want you to plant a church. Now, I'm like, whoa, never signed up for this, God. I just intended to play PlayStation, have fun with my friends, have a few more mates, and go home. That was it. I just wanted this. I just wanted this small. But God already knew it was going to be, it's going to be way bigger than me because a God dream's always way bigger than you. It's uncontainable. It's uncontrollable. You've got to give it away. You've got to give it away. And other people need to get it in their hearts as well. And in fact, you can't control that either. They just want to grab it because people are looking to follow along with dreams. They want to get involved with the things that God is doing. And so then it's like, what about planting a church? And then it's like, what about buying a building, 45,000 in this building? You're like, whoa, we didn't sign up to buy a building at 45,000. Come on, God, we're going to have to get serious. We're going to have to get policies. Don't want any of that stuff. And then before you know it, then we're like next door. We're buying a building at $175,000 with no money. And in the space of 3 months, we get all the money. What are you going to do now? What are you going to go and do now? And this is what God does. It's not that he's sneaky, but he just says, you don't know what's inside of you. You don't know what's inside of you because you've lived so long in the dirt. You've lived so long in the pits. You've lived so long in death of sin that whenever your life gets transformed and you become alive, you just don't know how alive you are. But as you walk with me, and the Bible tells us that the hope of glory lives inside of our hearts, as the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, do you know what? He's bursting. He's bursting to break forth in the midst of the lion's den, in the midst of the Red Sea. No matter where he is, he's just bursting to transform you. And it'll start off small and just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And now we're stepping into something that's just bigger again. It's just, we're like, whoa, are you sure, Lord? And he just keeps challenging us. He just keeps causing us to grow. Why? Because he is for us. And if he is for us, who can be against us? And he has an amazing goal in mind. It's for God so loved the world. Remember, he loves the world. And so his whole goal is this, is to see you walking in his commands because he loves the world, because he wants you to be a transformer in this world. He wants to see you transform the world because he loves the world. And so what's God trying to do? He's trying to get us to go for this thing next door because he loves the city of Armagh. And here's what our dream is. And here's what our goal is. It started off as just a youth group, but then God started to stretch us. And now, you know what our dream is? Is that we're going to see this building built next door. That we're going to see an Armagh saved. We're believing for this. Armagh saved. Armagh saved. This is what we're believing for. This is what we're praying for. Armagh saved. 15,000 people. If they can get into a football stadium, we can believe they can be saved. It's small, actually. It's not even that big. It's 15,000. That's it. That's why we got to start telling ourselves. That's all it is. It's nothing to him. He can save thousands in a day if he chooses to. I read this about Papua New Guinea, small country. Me and a few of the guys went to hear Planet Shakers just a few years ago. Maybe it's like a year ago. And one of the guys stood up and he said, we got Papua New Guinea on our hearts, small island, kind of all over towards Australia. And they said, we got it in our hearts. And we said, you know what? Us as Planet Shakers, we're more than just music. They produce amazing songs, amazing worship songs. We sing some of them. Maybe you've heard of them before. If not, go and check them out. Now, it looks like all they're doing is just recording a few CDs. And we're like, have we not got enough Christian CDs? But no, their vision is much bigger than that. This is what they decided. They decided, instead of believing for Armagh, this is where God's brought them to. Now, they start off in the same place as us, small, and then you just grow. You just keep growing. Now, what do you think they're believing for? That God could change a whole country. Papua New Guinea. Their goal was to go and change a whole country. A whole country. Get that round your mind. A whole country. Just hundreds of thousands of people. That's their goal. And then they set goals to do it. So they decide to go for it. And they go into the schools, they go into the prisons, they go to the mayor, they go to the governors of the country, and they're blown away. And they're like, we're going to bring hundreds of thousands of dollars to this place. We want to transform this country. And that's what they do. They hold this one event. They build up to it. 250,000 local islanders come to the event. By the end of the event, 110,000 people make a decision to follow Jesus. That is incredible. 15,000, not that big, not that much. But it is if we stay low. It is if we stay really low. It is if we don't allow the Lord to transform our minds. It is if we just keep thinking the way we've always thought, because the way we've always thought just produces the same things. So you got to change your thinking. You got to get into the Word and allow the Lord to renew your mind and transform your thinking. This is what He wants to do this morning. I'm just speaking from a heart from me to you, because I know time is transforming. Here are transforming. It's disappearing. Psalm 127:1. Let me read this one to you. Psalm 127:1, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor in vain. This is us this morning. If we go next door and we're not doing it in His strength, think about this now for a second. If we go next door and do it in our strength, then we don't need God. It's all game over. And yet in our minds, if we had all the money in the bank, it in some ways might make more sense, because we'd say to ourselves, well, it must be God. We've got all the money. No, we would end up just doing it in our own strength. So what does God do? He's smarter than us. He's much more clever than us. He hides it. He hides it in places. He hides it in places yet to come. Maybe it's in your bank account. Maybe it's in a promotion that hasn't happened yet. Maybe it's a gift that you're going to receive. Maybe it's just as you simply step out, He'll multiply the gift that you give, the time that you give. But this is what He does. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. He's smarter than us. He sets it up so that there's no way that we can mess it up. Because He knows if He doesn't work through us and work with us, it isn't going to happen. So we have to, by faith, receive all things. We have to, by faith, see what God is going to do. And by faith, we've got to step out into His promises, into His Word, like He has told us. And that is the challenge for us this morning. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. For us at this time, at this season, it's a huge, huge task. In 10 years, when we look back, we will laugh and say, wow. Look what the Lord has done, and look what we're trying to go for now. Trust me, this is not the end. This is just another step. So if you're uncomfortable now, ask for the Holy Spirit to come and make you comfortable quick, because it's going to get worse and worse and worse in that sense, because the dreams are just getting greater. Why? Because for God so loved the world. There are broken, dying, hurting people that are dead in their sins that need to come alive through the power and the love and the actions of men and women like us. As we would speak the Word, as we would bring the good news, as we would bring the salvation message, God would raise up, He would save, He would transform people's lives. God is trying to get our hearts this morning to believe for bigger things. I'm going to read a portion of Scripture, going to make a couple of notes, and then we're going to finish up in 5 minutes or so. Here's what it says, Matthew chapter 5. Jesus resurrects the dead. There is nothing too hard for Him. It says, when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, if you read a different version, it would tell you, it's in three of the Gospels. If you read one of the others, it would be Jairus. So when He comes to Jairus' house, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at Him. After He put them all out, He took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with Him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to Him, which means, little girl, I said to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was about 12 years old. As they saw this, they were completely astonished. Just an incredible, incredible portion of Scripture. Now, if we had more time, we would read the backstory, which is just miracle after miracle after miracle. If you remember the woman with the issue of blood, she had it for 12 years. She just doesn't know what to do. She doesn't know where to go anymore. She has tried every avenue. She spent every penny she's got. And then she hears of a man called Jesus. She pushes through the crowd. She touches the hem of His garment, and she's instantly healed. Because of her faith in Jesus. Jesus knows something's happened. He turns around to His disciples and He says, who touched me? And they laugh at Him and say, Master, Master, come on, we're in a crowded room. Everybody's touched you. He says, no, somebody touched me with a different touch. Somebody had faith as they touched me. And as a result, there was power that transferred from my body to theirs. They're healed. They're transformed. Something has happened. And it's amazing. There's a lesson, a whole lesson in that we could learn today. But suffice to say this, that there's a bunch of people that are surrounding Jesus. There's loads of Christians all around him. But then there's some that are just pushing through because they're desperate and they have to get a touch of the Master, because they know if they could get close enough to him, he would transform and change them in spite of the 12 years, in spite of the 12 months, in spite of whatever you have been through, because you know there's something in him that's not in you. You know there's something that he has that he could give to you. You know that he's powerful. You know that he can transform things. And church, this morning, we've got to start reminding ourselves of just how great Jesus is, just how great he is, because otherwise we start to get consumed with all of what we know and we forget what he can do. And if all we know is what we know, then we absolutely have forgotten what he can do, because he can do anything. There is nothing too hard for him. This story, look what we find. Jesus has been told, this is why I tell the story, because Jesus has been told that Jairus' daughter is not well. And so he's on the way to get to her. But on the way, then this woman with issue of blood steps in, and she needs her miracle as well. Here's what I find about Jesus. He doesn't run out. He does not run out. He hasn't got us to this point and then going to suddenly run out for next door. No, he's saving the best to the next time. He's saving the best to last. And then when we get to there, he saves even better for the next portion and the next portion and the next portion. And so it's the same in your life. What are you holding on to? What are you believing for? What are you anticipating? What are you expecting? What have you given up on? I'm going to encourage you this morning to look again to the author and the perfecter of your faith, which is Jesus, and say, Jesus, could you do something in the midst of this 12-year wait? Could you do something in the midst of the battle that I am facing? Could you help me? And as we keep persisting in our prayers, here's what the Bible teaches us and wants to remind us of. We persistently seek the Lord. We just keep asking. What does the Bible tell us? Seek and keep seeking and seek and seek and seek and keep knocking until you get what you need, because God just, he's right there. But sometimes we've got to push through all of the fears, all of the insecurities, all of the doubts in my heart to get to his heart. And then suddenly he touches me. At the end of 12 years, this woman was totally broken. She had nowhere else to go. She was fully surrendered. And as she touched him, she was never the same again. Never the same again. Now Jesus comes to this girl, and by the way, she's 12 years old. And we'll mention that just in a minute. She's 12 years old. God's trying to get our attention, because he does this through repeats, through numbers. He's always trying to get our attention, because he knows sometimes we're stupid people. But he tries to get our attention to remind us of things, to encourage us, to pick up our hearts. And here you've got this girl, 12 years old, and now it's game over. When Jesus, if he had come on time, she was alive. But now he's come not on time, and she's dead. There's a really important lesson for this, for us in this morning. Whose time is it anyway? Whose time is it anyway? Was Jesus late, or was he just on time? Was he late for our time because we had a different expectation, because we had a different thing that we needed to happen? Or was he good and we were wrong? We gotta make our mind up on this stuff. What I've learned over and over and over again is that he knows way better than me, way better than me. Now, I wish I knew better than him, because then I could make him do the things that I want him to do, but he's not a genie. He's God. He's the king of the universe. He's sovereign over all things. He knows when is the right time and when is the right season. He's just perfect. He's perfect with his time. In fact, he's outside of time. He don't need it. He doesn't need it at all. We're the ones that need time. And yet it trips us up over and over and over again. But we read it just a couple of weeks ago. At just the right time, at just the right time, he will raise you up. At just the right time, he will lift you up. At just the right time, he will bring the breakthrough that you need. Jesus decided, God decided, at 12 years, this is the time to transform this woman. At 12 years old, this is the time to come to this girl. Everybody says, don't come any longer, Jesus. There's no point. She's dead. Now, look what Jesus says. He says, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. Here's what we need to learn this morning, just as we're trying to drop two or three quick points into your heart. Sometimes God's going to ask you a question that he doesn't want you to answer. He wants to answer it himself. This was one of those days. He didn't want the people to answer this question because he knew what the reply would be. It would be death, 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 game over, not going to happen. What did he say? He spoke something completely different. Sometimes Jesus is going to ask you questions on your life that he doesn't want you to answer in your steam. He wants you to find out what the word says. He wants you to find out what he is saying, and then he wants you to repeat it back to him. He wants you to, by faith, pray the words of the word rather than praying the words of myself. This is exactly one of those occasions. This is what he does. He says, why is all this was commotion and wailing. The child is not dead, she's alive. Jesus knew the question before he answered it. He knew the answer. He knew the answer before he gave it. So why is he asking it? Because he's trying to show us something incredible here. There are times where we're going to have to ask ourselves that question, but we're going to have to allow the Lord to answer it. We would have answered, she's dead. There's no point. Go home, Jesus. He answers it a different way. He says, the child is not dead, but she's asleep. But they laughed at him. They laughed at him. Church, as we step out and as we go forward, and maybe you've stepped out in your dreams and maybe you've went forward in your dreams, has anybody laughed at you? There's usually two outcomes in that. It's fuel for your fire and you go for it, or it's water on the fire and you're like, I'm not doing it ever again. Ever again am I doing that move. One of those funny things is like when we come to Dragon's Den. Anybody watch Dragon's Den? I kind of like it. It's kind of cool. But you have people that come with amazing ideas, and then you've got people that come with crazy, bad, stupid ideas, but they don't know it. They just don't know it. But here's where it gets worse. They've invested probably half their life savings into it. They've remortgaged their house. They've put about $500,000. I don't know what they've done, but they've sunk every penny they've got into it. You know what the dragons do? They look at them. They're not real dragons. Trust me. It's not real dragons. They're people. And they don't necessarily laugh at them, but you know what they do? They give them a wake-up call, and they say, okay, I got one word for you. Stop. Just stop. Just bend that idea. It's the worst idea ever. Don't put any more money into this thing and just get back to normal. And sometimes it's just what happens. Sometimes people are going to come and just maybe the enemy comes and he laughs at us, and we've got to decide, is this a God idea or not? Because it's either going to stop us or it's going to push us forward. And this morning, church, God has given us an incredible dream for next door, and he's calling us forward into it. And so here's what I love us to do. Over this next week, we're fasting and praying. If you've got one of our wee flyer things on that, take it with you. But over this next week, what we're going to do is we're going to fast and pray particularly for next door, because we know there's a battle going on. If you've been reading about Daniel, which I've been doing because I'm doing a Daniel fast at the moment, you're fasting, I'm fasting, we're doing a Daniel fast, or some of us are, and I am, so I'm reading the story of Daniel. And I read something just this morning. I knew it was just God, and I had to just drop it in where we get the moment. And here's what happens in the midst of the story, is that Daniel's praying for a breakthrough, and then the angel appears to him after 21 days. And it's the angel Gabriel. And he comes to them and he says to them, Daniel, I have good news for you. Haven't heard your prayer on day number one, but there was a battle that needed to take place for the next 21 days. In fact, there was such a battle going on with some of the princes of darkness on this planet that I actually had to send for Michael, because he's just a warrior. He's the guy who's going to beat things up. He's the guy, he's the angel that's going to take the bodies down. And so what happened was he had to get Michael to come and help him. But there was a delay on the answer to prayer. There was a delay on the breakthrough, because there was lots of big spiritual things happening in the background. And church, we've got to realize that as we step forward, as we pray, and as we fast and pray this week specifically for our building, it's not just a question of money. There's spiritual breakthrough that has to be won. And so we've got to step into spiritually with our prayer, superpower of prayer, and I say, Lord, would you move in the midst of this of the spiritual enemies? Would you move in the midst of the fallen angels that have come to just bring darkness, bring chaos, to bring destruction to people's lives? Lord, will you move in every single area? And so we're going to pray from the physical to the spiritual this week. And this is what I'd love you to join with us. On Monday, tomorrow, what we're going to do is we're going to pray for supernatural healing. I just want us to cover supernatural healing and believe and remind ourselves our God's able to heal. He looked at that young girl. She wasn't dead. She was just asleep. God brought her back to life because of his words. I want us to start speaking and believing and praying for supernatural healing. We've been seeing it recently, but we want to claim it for more, because we want to see it more and more and more. And then for the next few days, this is what we've put down on the sheet. Our new building on Tuesday. Project possible in terms of financial provision on Wednesday. Then Thursday, we're going to go for our seat vision. Friday, favor and blessing. And then we'll finish off on Saturday with revival. Because here's what we believe. As we step forward and as we step out, as we see God do all the things that he wants to do, that he's going to bring a huge revival where many, many men and women are going to get saved. At the moment, we're already starting to feel a bit full. Already starting to feel like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? We're going to go to double services. But we're just going to continue to move and move and move, because we know for God so loved the world. And so we're just going to continuously push ourselves forward in his strength, in his power. And this is what we're asking this morning. This is what we're believing. So I'd love you to join with us. Specifically, take these dates. Take the sheet with you. Take a photo on your phone right now. But join with us. And remember, at 1 o'clock and 7 o'clock, that's when we are praying together. We know that somebody's praying. We know what we're going for. But if you can't pray at those times, join with us at any time. Because we've got to join up united in prayer. There was one point I'd love to finish with and love to make as the band are going to come and get ready. And this is what it was. Do you remember in the midst of the story that we just read just there? It said that Jesus had to put everybody out of the room. He put everybody out of the room, but he kept a handful of people. And this is who he kept, the father and mother and a few of his disciples. Now, why did he keep them over everybody else? I'm going to finish with this one point. He kept them because the people that laughed at him were basically saying this: we don't stand with you, Jesus. We don't believe what you can do. We don't believe in you. We don't even trust you. We don't see what you're seeing. We just think you're crazy. Jesus had to put those guys out. They're not with me. If you're not with me, you got to go. But the guys that he kept in were the guys that we need to do this thing with. And what was Jesus showing us? He was showing us two things: stand with me and be united. When you stand with Jesus and you're united with him, there's nothing that can stop us. Even death cannot stop us. No matter what is in our way, cannot stop us because he is for us. And church, this morning, if we are united together, even in our brokenness, even in the midst of our pain, even in the midst of the struggles that we go through, if we're united together as one body, standing with Jesus, there is nothing that he can't do through us. So can we stand together this morning, and we're going to pray over our lives? I want to give you the latest building update and of where we're at. Come on, stand. Come on, you don't need to wait for the music. We can do it without the music. We're powered by the Holy Spirit. But I want to give you a brief update on where we're at right now, and it ties in perfectly with our prayers. So we have our planning permission with our building, and that will run out at the end of March. And so what we need to do before that is that we need to commence works. We need to begin doing some work next door. Now, we don't have all the finances yet to do all that we need to do, but we're going to, by faith, start to begin the work because we can't afford to lose that planning permission. So what we've done over this last week is we've got our building control application in. Sorry for the boring details, but it's just to bring you up to speed. And so as we put in the building control application, what does it do? It allows us to begin our works. Once that application comes back, say early next week, we can get the digger in, dig a couple of foundations, pour a bit of concrete, and start going. And as we do that, then they come out and check it. And as they check it, then they say, okay, it's cool. You've made a start. You get five more years. So the reason I share that is because it's perfect timing of what we're talking about this morning. Church, this morning, as we pray this week, we remind ourselves of our goal. We said this: we're looking to raise $1.5 million. But before we do that, we're going to start off with $500,000. Because here's what the $500,000 is going to do, and it's to remind you or to alert you if you don't know the info at all, is that we said from back to front, $500,000 is going to build us our building, back to front, watertight, and maybe even get us the ground floor ready for action. But to do that, we're going to need your help, because I don't have it. I don't think you have it, but together we can do it in faith. Now, already, this is what we said. We said if we sell 850 seats at £30 a month for 5 years, we'll raise all that money and more. That is incredible. We broke that number down because it was a number and it was some wisdom that God gave us. But if we break it down further to the $500,000, we can say, okay, God, that's even less. That's a third less. We can do this thing. That's a couple of hundred seats or less, depending on how many each person buys. Maybe 100 people buying a few seats each. At this moment, we're up to 24 seats. You know what that equates to? 53,000. Doesn't sound like much, but it adds up to quite a bit. And I'm going to encourage you this morning. Maybe you've got your 5 loaves and your 2 fishes. Doesn't sound like much, but in faith you give it anyway and watch how God multiplies it through. So this is not a sales pitch because it's nothing to do with me. This is a faith pitch. This is me saying to you, why don't you step into this thing? Why don't you stand up with God? Why don't you stand with him in the little that you do have? And over this week, pray and watch how the Lord transforms your heart. And if you feel encouraged to do so, then start joining with us in this project, in finance, in prayer, in spirit, in every which way. Because this is so much bigger than you. This is for his glory and for his kingdom. It'll be something that'll outlast all of us. But don't let it pass you by. I want to be some of the people in the room with Jesus, seeing incredible things take place. I don't want to be outside of the room, and it's really easy to get stuck in the middle. Let's take a step of faith this week as we pray for the building. Let's take a step of faith in all that we do, and I encourage you, want more info, get on our website, you'll find it out. Need more info, take one of our leaflets on the way out, but let's stand together in unity, and as we do that, God is going to transform and bring breakthrough. Come on, let's pray for a minute. Let's close our eyes just for a moment.